blessed to be here this morning. All right. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation, or as B.R. Lakin used to say, turn to the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. Revelation chapter 4. John on the Isle of Patmos, he says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts, full of eyes, before and behind." If I can get this page turned over. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a cat, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and had each of them, the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sit on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." My, 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 let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today and thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to glorify your precious name, to lift up and magnify that precious name of Jesus, Lord, to help us to be glad and have a rejoicing spirit and heart this morning and show you thanks and give you honor and glory and power this morning, Father. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. Thank you for the answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us, for the heads that you put about this church, Lord. And we'll continue to praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, my message this morning stems from a story that I heard, you know, back in my college days, which was the late 1960s. It was a very interesting time. I was a college kid in Miami, Florida, at Miami-Dade Community College, and it was a time, in that era, a time of protest and a time of riots, a time of rebellion in America, and also a time of reflection. I was part of that college campus crowd filled with hippies and flower children, folk music, marijuana, and doing your own thing. A lot of that kind of stuff was the attitude of the young people of those days. I went down to take my physical for the Army at a big armory there in Miami, Florida. And I went down there, and they told everybody to strip down to your shorts and your socks. And there must have been 2,000 of us lined up there to that at that armory there in downtown Miami. And of all those 2,000, that long line, it was only me that stood there in boxer shorts and cowboy boots. It looked pretty funny, but I always looked pretty funny. But anyway, the army wouldn't have me. The army wouldn't have me, so I stayed in college. And that was quite a crowd. Always asking, questioning, and no one had the answers. The church neglected to give them the right answer. The religionists were always telling them what to do, but leaving out that our faith has to do with a man and not with a religious system. The Bible says in 1 John 5, and this is the record that I give unto you, eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. But the story I remember, Win Osborne, a great banjo player, said that his cousin pulled up next to him one day, and those times he rolled down the window and he was smoking a joint of marijuana, had that joint of marijuana in his hand, and he just looked at Win and said, "What does it all mean, man? What does it all mean?" And what I'd like to tell you today is the answer to that question. Einstein didn't know the answer to it. The college professors didn't know the answer to it. But I'm here to declare the answer to that question, what does it all mean? The scientific community did not have the answer to that question. Philosophers have spent centuries in search of the answer to that very question. What does it all mean? I'm here to declare to you today the answer to that question. That answer is given in this old King James 1611 Holy Bible. And that answer, God has the answer to that eternal question. God is the answer to that eternal question. Now back to our text here in Revelation 4:7. He says in 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Watch it now. "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." What does it all mean, man? It means that we were created for God's pleasure. That's what we were created for. You and I and everything that is were created to please God. You say, "Well, what about me?" Yeah, hey, it's not about your pleasure. Hey, never has been about your pleasure. Never will be about your pleasure. You and I are all, and all creation was created for God's pleasure. By Him, it says in Colossians 1:16, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist." He says over there in John 1, you know, we read in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But then over there in John 1, we see that it's Jesus Christ that was doing the creating. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My. A Psalm of David, Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof," watch it, "the world and they that dwell therein." We belong to God. You belong to God this morning. I belong to God. Everything that is belongs to God. So it says here that it's all owned by God, the Creator. Everything we do should give obeisance to that Creator God. Then back in our text in Revelation chapter 4, it says that all things were created for His pleasure. So then the answer to that eternal question of what does it all mean, man, would point to whoever and whatever brings pleasure to God. We're here for His pleasure. Einstein missed it. Nostradamus missed it. Darwin missed it. The national news media missed it. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Notice here in our text that His pleasure is tied to receiving glory and honor and power. You know what pleases God? It's when we give Him glory. The world today refuses to give God glory. They refuse to give God honor. The world refuses to ascribe to God power. There's no power but of God, the Bible says. You know, we want the glory. Man wants the glory. Mankind insists on getting the glory. We want the honor and we want the power. You know all the fuss in Washington? You know what all that fuss is about? The Democrats and the Republicans? It's about power! They want the power, but the Bible says there's no power but of God. Paul wrote in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, my, as the old preacher said, I've said all that to say this. You and I were created this morning to please God. And we please God by bringing Him glory. And by bringing Him honor. And we please God by bowing and submitting ourselves to His power. That's what it does. The Bible says He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Bible says we are not your own. Know ye not that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do you do that? You say, preacher, how do we glorify God? Well, what you and I do this morning to bring glory to God, first of all, we should allow ourselves to be conformed to His image. The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. It says in Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that ye might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you're a Christian here today who desires to please God, a good place to start would be to live like God tells you to live. You need to live like this book tells you you ought to live. I've always said that there's three goals that I have for Hope Baptist Church. First of all, that you fall in love with the Lord. Secondly, that you fall in love with His book, that precious Word of God. And thirdly, that you do the best that you can to live like that book tells you to live. My. That's a good place to start. If God commands you to do something, then you ought to try to do it. You ought to do it. God commands it. It wasn't the 10 suggestions, it was the 10 commandments. Hey, first next, you need to understand that if God's against it, you ought to be against it too. If God's against something, don't stand up and say, well, I don't see where that's wrong. Hey, who asked you? And whatever God says, that's the way it is, whether you like it or not. My. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, who can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you remember the story of Enoch? Remember Enoch? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Watch it. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Evidently, he agreed with God. They got along because he agreed with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The moment that you or the moment that I develop a controversy with God, a controversy with God's Word, we've got a problem. You've got a problem. God don't have a problem. He never has had a problem. You've got a problem and I've got a problem whenever we develop a controversy with the Lord our God. The moment we do that, the moment is the moment that you and I no longer are pleasing to God. Paul said in Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We bring glory to God by holy living. Be ye holy, saith the Lord, for I am holy. And it's that holy living that enables us and empowers us to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. That brings us to the second area in bringing glory to God this morning, and that is by declaring the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Jesus said unto the disciples over there in Acts 1:8, it said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth." Hey, the power is tied to the Holy Ghost of God, and that filling of the Holy Ghost of God is tied to your commitment to holy living. You got that Holy Ghost now, the moment that you got saved. You got all of it, but He didn't get all of you because you won't let Him in. You're too filled with the world to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost when you're filled with everything else this world has to offer. You've got to empty that cup out so God can fill it. That makes you, gives you power to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, bringing glory to God by holy living, bringing glory to God by declaring Jesus Christ and faith in His precious blood. Hey, listen, we don't declare Jesus Christ because the world deserves to be saved. This world is wicked, and it's dark, and a lot of this world hates God. We declare Jesus Christ because He deserves to be declared. People deserve to know about the saving power of Jesus Christ. We deserve hell, but Jesus Christ deserved to be declared because God loved us enough to send His Son. God don't save us for our sakes. God saves us for His Son's sake. For Jesus' sake, He saves us. If the Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. We declare Jesus Christ because He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And He loved us enough to die for us. He deserves to be declared. Revelation 4:11 in our text, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Hey, God didn't save you for your sake. He saved you for Jesus' sake, according to Ephesians 5. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Man, what a deal. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Man, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? All right, what does it all mean, man? It means that God is God, and we're to bring glory to Him. He created us. He loved us. He sheltered us with His loving arms, and we're to bring glory and honor and submit and bow to His power. We're bringing glory to God by holy living, by soul winning, by giving thanks and praise to His holy name. Psalm 69:30, the psalmist said, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves." In Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." What does it all mean, man? It means that Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. My, my, my. For after that, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Watch it. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." What does it all mean, preacher? Well, it means people are searching. They're searching. They're longing for meaning today. Meaning in life. They're yearning for meaning today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. A fellow said, well, preacher, how does it all turn out? Well, how it all turns out depends entirely upon you. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Jesus said, all ye that labor, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you meaning. I will give you purpose. And I will give you eternal life. And they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever heareth, say, come. And whosoever thirsteth, let him come to the water and drink. Won't you come this morning? If you're sitting, those in the parking lot today, sitting in your cars, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the meaning. That you're here to bring pleasure to God. You know what pleases God? What pleases God is you believing on His precious Son. You know what? The disciples asked over there in John 6:28. They asked the Lord, said, Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. That's the work of God. The work of God is not doing a good deed. It's not the Adam Improvement Society. It's not cleaning up the hog pen. It's not keeping the commandments or the sacraments or all those religious things. The work of God is to believe on Him whom He has sent. Do you believe this morning? Have you ever come to Jesus Christ by faith? Have you ever come to Him with a repentant heart and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a mess. I know I'm lost. Lord, and I ask You this morning, the best way I know how, Lord, to be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever done that? Why not? That's what He's waiting for. That's what He's looking for. By doing that, you bring honor to His Son. By trusting in His Son, when you bring honor into His Son, you honor the Father. If you're here listening, maybe you're watching on YouTube or this online stuff. I'm a low-tech hillbilly, and I don't know much about all that, but I do know that Jesus saves. And I declare to you the eternal truth this morning that Jesus saves. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Won't you come? Bow your head this morning. And if you never prayed this prayer, just make it from the heart. He won't refuse you. Why would He refuse you after what He did on Calvary's cross? Say, Lord, I come to You this morning the best way I know how. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that You're the Savior, Lord. I believe that You died, like the Bible said, for my sins, that You were buried and that You rose again the third day. Lord, I believe that. And Lord, I'm asking You the best way I know how to have mercy on me, a sinner. And all this I ask in Jesus' holy name. I now receive You in Jesus' name as my personal Savior. Won't you pray that prayer? If you prayed that prayer this morning, God bless you. He'll keep you. He won't refuse you. Why would He refuse you after what He did to save your soul? Brother Jeremiah.